My shepherd will supply my need. It's a great, great way to step into what we're going to be stepping into here for the next few months, and that is the Gospel of John, and specifically today, and you'll see why. For the next while, we're going to be looking at the miraculous nature of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John. And that's a little bit of a focused premise to be studying for an extended period of time. So why would we do that? Well, because John, unlike the other Gospels, have you ever noticed in the other Gospels, every time Jesus does something miraculous, the message is, but don't tell anybody. It's not time yet. But John, when he writes his Gospel, every time Jesus does something miraculous, he puts it on full display for everyone to see. Have you ever noticed that before in John's Gospel? The miracles of Christ play an important role in not only describing who Jesus is in John's Gospel, but what it means to have life in Jesus. So as we look at this miraculous ministry of Jesus, there's going to be this picture that's painted over not just who he was in the moment, but who we're being invited to become in him. And you typically don't start a sermon series by quoting a verse from the very end of the book, but if you were to go to chapter 20 of John, this is what he says. You're probably familiar with this verse. It says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may also have life in his name. For the next season, we're going to be talking about what that life in his name looks like. And this morning specifically, we're going to be looking at how Jesus is the Word in all creation and how he still creates, or maybe perhaps the better way to say it is recreates in our lives today. So if you will, if you'd like to follow along, we're going to be John chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 to 5 and then 9 to 14. And feel free to follow on the screen as well. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Verse 9. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence, I just want to take a moment just to be still. Lord, we just want to offer ourselves up to your word this morning and just tell you in our own way, Lord, I'm ready to receive your word. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to do the things that we cannot do on our own. We can listen, we can pay attention, we can intellectually try to engage this, but you're the one who moves our hearts into conformity with Christ. And so we ask that you would do that through the power of your word this morning. We look so forward to digging into this. It's in your name we pray, Christ. Amen. I remember a few years ago, I was in Alaska teaching at a young adults conference, and it was my first time ever in Alaska. And I was utterly taken with just the wildness and the beauty of that state. Has anybody been to Alaska? Folks who have been, yes. Right, you get it. You go there, and it's just, it's not like anything else down in the lower 48. It is gorgeous. And at the end of the conference, a friend was driving me back into Anchorage, and we were having one of those kind of lazy, tiresome conversations. You know, it's a great conference, but we were so exhausted. And we're just kind of going through kind of the Alaskan countryside, if you can call it that. And it's a four-lane road, and if you can imagine with me, this long stretch of road that we're on, it's a big dip down, and then it's going to dip back up. And as we're coming over and dipping down, we see brake lights everywhere. And kind of, what's going on? Once again, tired, exhausted. And my friend says, well, won't you look at that? And at the bottom of this hill, the traffic has stopped right here, and the traffic has stopped right here, and there's this gap right in the middle, and standing in the middle of that gap is this giant bull moose. And I can see him quite clearly all the way up the hill, but as we get closer and closer, he keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger until we're just a couple cars behind, and he's not moving fast, okay? He is taking his sweet time walking right through the middle of this road. And I'm just staring at it. I mean, I am totally taken up. Because, I mean, he doesn't have the stature of a mammal. He has the stature of a maple. I mean, it's just huge, right? And there wasn't a car who would dare have pushed this guy along. And he knew it. And so he just took his sweet time walking right through there, and we just waited while he walked. And all I can remember is I felt like I was in the presence of majesty. I mean, I was literally in awe. I could not believe what I was looking at. It was so big, so beautiful. It was wonderful. I bet all of us have had those moments where we're in creation somewhere, where we see something, and it takes you. You just look at it and you go, wow. That's beautiful. And if you're a believer, you take it one step further and you say, that declares the glory of God. Right? Well, right here, that feeling of awe, that feeling of recognition of a majestic beauty, of something where the human soul just screams, where does that come from? You want to sing a song, but you don't know who to sing it to. That's where John starts his gospel. He says, well, actually, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? And he says, right there, all things came into being through him. And without him, Not one thing came into being. What a way to start your gospel account, right? You know, Luke and Matthew are micro. They're like, and there was a baby in a manger. And this was, but not John. John's like, and all of creation is speaking to the glory of God. It meets us intellectually. It meets us emotionally. Spiritually, but physically. We can look, we can see it. And so John introduces Jesus by showing us that he's the Word of God who speaks into being all creation. And right there, before humanity has ever entered the scene, the miraculous nature is on full display of Jesus Christ. Right? Because before existence, what was there? Nothing, right? Isn't that what Genesis tells us? Genesis 1:2, the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep. That's a beautiful poetic way of saying there was nothing. There was nothing. The creation ex nihilo, right? Creation from nothing. And it's miraculous because God creates from nothing. It's all his idea. And we get tastes of this in humanity, don't we? If you've ever walked into a museum and you see a painting and it is beautiful, or you see a sculpture and it just you just don't know how to even conceive that somebody built that with their hands. Or a lot of times for me, it's music. I'll hear a piece of music and it just moves me. Even recently, I was listening to the theme from Schindler's List. Are we familiar with that piece? Oh my gosh. You know, just that opening beat, da 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 da, then right there, da 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 da, and 10 seconds, and I am emotionally undone by that song. And I just wonder, you know, how could John Williams write such a simple melody that just hits me at every emotional level of my heart? From nothing. He wrote it from nothing. Where does that come from? Well, gloriously, we are created in the image of our Creator. And those are little tiny tastes of creation from nothing. But as wonderful as that feels, when a melody moves us or a picture moves us, how much more when we take into perspective the entire universe from black holes to microscopic life, does it move us and say, my word, this Creator is something else. Is something else. Unless we're tempted to think that God's the eternal clockmaker who just builds it all, winds it up, and lets it go for better or for worse, John tells us that what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. It's more than just creation. But Jesus is himself putting life into all creation. We're going to see this all throughout the Gospel of John. He loves the word life. It's in there some 30 times. We've already said it at the very opening from chapter 20. He is obsessed with showing people that Jesus is life. He's life. But that said, we could literally talk all day about how wonderful and majestic creation is. How we can be awestruck by creation at times. But I'm going to ask you a really honest question this morning. Do you walk around in that state of mind all the time? Just, oh, that sings his glory, that sings his glory, that sings his glory. No, we don't, do we? And I'm not saying that out of a sense of conviction at all. It's just we don't. Partly because it's not all glorious, is it? We walk in a world where there's hurt. There's sadness. I mean, most of the time we're just trying to get through our day and accomplish what we need to accomplish. You got work you got to get done. You got an appointment you got to get to. People you're conversing with. I got to make dinner tonight. But the reality is if you take the everyday occurrences of life, then you complicate that with hurt, with pain, with sickness, with death. You know what? We don't actually walk around constantly singing the glory of God, do we? Just yesterday, we remembered a day that was so painful in our country's history, in the world's history. I mean, it was definitely one of those days where if you were alive, I bet you remembered exactly where you were when you heard about the towers. Show of hands, do you remember where you were when you heard it? Absolutely, I do too. I was walking into a college classroom. I walked, sat down, had no idea what was going on. My professor came running through the front door, turned on the TV, and nobody said a word for 30 minutes. And he turned it off, and he said, I think the classes are canceled today. Just go somewhere that's safe. And we did. And we didn't even know what safe meant at that point. We'll never forget that day. It was a painful day. And the truth of our world is that when we enter it, we're actually infinitely more familiar with the brokenness of the world before we ever get on the same page with the glory of God in the world, right? We come in understanding brokenness quite well, don't we? Some people never understand the glory of God in creation. They never figure out who to sing that song to. They'll sing it to the trees, they'll sing it to this, they'll sing it to that, but they'll never see the fingerprints of the Creator in it. So it's important that we hold on to John's fifth verse here. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. We know who this whispers of. And God doesn't give up on creation. Instead, the Word Himself, the one who speaks things into being, intervenes. He recreates. Have you ever pondered or wondered this question? If God is so powerful and good, why doesn't He just snap His fingers and make everything better? If He's so good, why doesn't He just fix it all like that? It's a good, honest question. It's on my mind because my 10-year-old asked me this past week. It's the one I was ready for in the car. Dad, why doesn't God just make everything better? And it's an honest question that's asked by, you know, infinitely more than 10-year-olds. But it's a question that doesn't see God in the way that He's revealing Himself as the Creator, right? It's what I call the wizard God mentality. You know, why doesn't God just magically wave His hands, snap His fingers, and make it all go away? He can do that, right? But God doesn't. That's not consistent with how He's revealed Himself in creation, because did God make a magical world? He made a physical world, didn't He? And it's a beautiful physical world. As a matter of fact, what does Genesis call the world over and over again? It's good. It's a good world. It's a world with tastes and touch. It's a world with joys and consequences. It's a world inhabited by physical spiritual beings like Himself. And when these physical spiritual beings get into physical spiritual peril, He sends a physical spiritual son to physically and spiritually be present so that He can physically and spiritually recreate what was lost to sin that resulted in physical and spiritual brokenness. So God's answer to the brokenness of the world is not, let me just fix that real quick. Who is His answer? It's Jesus. It's His one and only Son, which is what verse 14 tells us, right? And the Word, the one who spoke it all into being, became flesh and lived among us. And we've seen His glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. By the way, if you're a camper, that's the camper's favorite verse. Did you know that? Because the literal translation is, and the Word became flesh and pitched a tent among us. So next time you go camping, you can declare God's glory even in your tent. But more accurately, it's, and God tabernacled among us. Now what imagery does that start making us think of? It's Old Testament imagery, isn't it? It's when God, literally, there was a tabernacle and God's presence dwelt with who? The people. And that's what this verse is saying, is God's solution to darkness, God's solution to brokenness is that the Son comes and physically dwells. He pitches His tent. He tabernacles. He brings the Shekinah glory, which was what was present in the tabernacle, right amongst the people of God. That's why the verse says, and the glory of as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth, is with us. It's God's glory comes and boom, sits right in creation. God is coming and doing what He does. He's not creating, He's recreating. He's speaking words that recreate the brokenness within humanity. And He does this one person at a time. I don't typically put lengthy quotes in sermons, but this week I'm gonna break my rule, because there's this one, and actually I got to give credit to Rebecca because she was the one that led me to it. It's by the church father Athanasius. He's an older fella, and it just captures this reality of the Word recreating. And this is what he says. I'll put it up there so you can read along, though I apologize for the teeny tiny text. He says, you know what happens when a portrait that's been painted on a panel becomes obliterated through external stains? The artist does not throw away the panel, but the subject of the portrait has to come and sit for it again, and then the likeness is redrawn on the same material. In other words, you don't just pitch the painting, you recreate on it. Even so was it with the all-holy Son of God. He, the image of the Father, came and dwelt in our midst. This also explains his saying to the Jews, "Except a man be born anew." He was not referring to a man's natural birth from his mother, as they thought, but to the rebirth and recreation of the soul in the image of God. In other words, God does not sit down and create this beautiful creation, all the universe, and then when it gets tarnished, he's like, let's get rid of this. He got close one time, right? But he didn't. Has anybody ever read through Noah, the account of Noah, and just thought, it may have been easier for him to just go ahead and erase it and start all over? But he doesn't, does he? What he does instead is he takes that creation and he begins to recreate within it, person by person. Rebecca, her grandmother, was a painter. And if you ever walked into her house, you would have seen just paintings of the 18 grandchildren in various stages of their lives all around the house. And some people may say that it's pretty amazing that she could really capture just each one of these kids so well through art. I actually think it's quite amazing that she managed to get 18 grandchildren to sit still long enough to paint them. I say that as the parent of a very busy 7-year-old. Friends, the longer we live, the more brokenness we live through. Amen? You never arrive on the other side of brokenness in this life. It never seems to be completely finished. You know, some of it we bring upon ourselves. We do it with sin. We just do it with bad decisions. Some of it is just living in a world with sickness and death, where we lose people we love. It creates broken spots within us. It creates hurt. It creates pain. It creates places that are hard to live through. And some of it is just experiencing the brokenness of others in our lives, right? It's when our friends make bad decisions, or our spouses, or our children or grandchildren, or those we love. And that brokenness bleeds into our lives. But as long as we're on the side of eternity, we never seem to outgrow the need of Christ to enter into our lives and minister to those broken places. We never stop singing, "My shepherd will supply my needs." Our needs are endless. They are endless. This morning, Jesus, the Word, is still doing his recreative work in each one of us. He's holding the paintbrush right now, literally right now. And my question to you is, where is he calling you to sit and be still and draw in some lines? Where is he calling you to trust him, to orient, to bring healing into your life, to do that work of recreation, to speak those words of life right where you're at this morning? And for some of us, God may be doing some serious work right now in our lives. He's drawing some new lines. He's repainting over some places that we look back and go, "Oof, I wish I wouldn't have done that." He's defining you above your brokenness, as only the Word can. But for some of us, he may just be sitting right beside us saying, "Listen, I know brokenness and I know suffering, because I have been broken and I have suffered. And I just want you to know this morning, I am with you. I am walking every step with you, and we're doing this together." And perhaps for some of us, there's circumstances that are out of our control and we can't control them. But he's painting into our lives new strength and new courage that lead to hope. What is the miraculous nature of Jesus creating in your life this morning? Where is he trying to get your attention and say, let me just, no, sit still. Let me have a turn. We're going to sit still for just a moment. And we're just going to listen. And I just want to invite you to just let God speak into that. And if he speaks, to just say, okay, God, yes, you can have the brush. I'll let it go. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you knowing that your glory is wonderful. Your creation is beautiful. And we have all manner of spaces in our own hearts and minds that need to be recreated. And so we come before you this morning and just ask that you would speak to those places that you right now. The temptation is maybe to think that there's a list of 50 of these things, but or that there's a list of none. But where's the one thing right now that you're saying, I really want a chance to recreate that in your life? Would you speak to us? Father, we know that Christ tells us that we can look at the flowers and know that you do infinitely more than that. The birds of the air, and you take care of even us. But Lord, this morning we declare that we can look into the heavenlies, into all the universe, and see how it speaks your glory and speaks your goodness and speaks just of what you are capable of doing. And so this morning we submit ourselves and say, okay, Jesus, I see you loud and clear. I'm open. Create in me. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.